Okay, hello everyone. This is Kathy Kirk. It is Sunday, the 29th of August, and we are meeting at the live group life transformational calls. And tonight we have a discussion planned about well-being. So first, a few housekeeping rules. Make sure that you, if you are on the line, that you have yourself muted out, and that's by hitting *6 on your phone. And then if you want to make comment or ask a question, you just unmute yourself by hitting *6 as well. And you can submit questions through the coaching forum at the website, and or you can submit them through the contact form, and or you can do it live right here on the call. So let's see what else to tell you. Also, I know that when all of you signed up, you were given, as sort of a freebie, two downloads. One is the processes download, and the other one is sort of a diagram of your emotional range. So as we do this every Sunday night, what we're trying to accomplish here is a mastery, self-mastery, and the emotions are your guidance scale on any subject. So hopefully you're going to be listening with the diagram of the emotional scale in front of you, and you'll start to get a sense of where you are on different topics. And then on topics that are, you know, more stubborn, you can use the processes, which describe which processes you need to raise the vibrational scale of a certain emotional set point. The whole idea, of course, is to get back into alignment with well-being. So let's see here. Tonight, what I want to talk about is well-being itself first. Those are going to be my opening comments. The subject of well-being, what is this? What is well-being? Well-being is the stream of life source that flows and enlivens everything. There is no other stream except well-being. That's all there is. Now, we can be upstream, we can be out of sync with it, in alignment with it, or not in alignment with it. We can be battling it, or we can be making it hard on ourselves, but there is still only a stream of well-being. And let me pause right now just for a second. Okay, I'm back. So tonight's comments are about well-being, and this is so that as you move through the week and you are...
This is Kryn.
Hi, Kryn. We've begun already, but that's good. So just go ahead and put yourself on mute and you can listen.
Okay. Thanks.
Welcome. Tonight's topic, we'll just back up a little bit for Kryn so she gets it. Tonight's topic is about well-being. What is well-being? And I use it interchangeably with, God and Source and feeling good. And my motto is basically good and God are the same thing. So when we're feeling good, of course, we're in the stream of well-being. But what is well-being? Well, it's the essential flow of the universe, of God, of Source itself, and there is no other stream. There just isn't. There's nothing else. But we can be out of alignment with it. If we think of it in terms of a stream of well-being, we can be paddling upstream. And it'll beat us up that way when we're fighting it, when we're going counter to it, so we're resisting it. If you've ever seen a salmon who has made the trek up the Columbia River flowing upstream to spawn, by the time they get up there, they're pretty beat up. And that is usually what most of us do. We are doing it the hard way. And but it's natural because that's what we were taught to do. Most of the time when we're asked to do things in the flow, it sounds like it's the easy way out. It sounds like it's lazy. Almost every award that gets put up on anyone's wall is because they have endured and persevered against the flow of well-being. They've done it by work and perseverance and blood, sweat, and tears, and it's hard and it's a struggle, and that's the way it is, and that's the way the humanoids tell us when we're little that that's how it is on Earth. But the flow of well-being is a stream of well-being, and it is elegant, and it is easy, and it is natural, and that's why we talk about life transformation here at Applied Spirituality as being natural and simple. If you want to look at well-being, you look at nature, and you can see that everything out there is going pretty smoothly. The trees are drinking up their food and water and nourishment, and they're not fighting for anything. They're not quivering with worry and fear about what's coming next. The critters are finding their food and finding their water, and so it goes, and this is the elegance of well-being. It's just a source of well-being, good. So the humans, though, of course, we have a human mind that has taught us, or others have taught us, that this is different. It's different for humans. But it isn't. We are natural and integral parts of this universe as well. And it's only our human mind that separates us out from that. So these are beliefs that we've picked up along our physical trail, and they usually come very clear to us or get in our way when we're reaching for something more and we really want something better. And then we find that we're sort of tethered and we're stuck someplace. We're hung up on some flotsam or jetsam in the stream, and we're stuck. And that's usually a belief. Now, how we navigate this stream of well-being is, of course, by our emotions. And they are the ones that are telling us by how we feel whether we are in alignment with well-being, which is who we essentially are, our God chip self, or we are not. So walking around on planet Earth, we've got essentially two vibrations going on, playing off each other all the time, and that's our God self vibration, which stays in well-being, thank heavens. It doesn't move. It's true north, so it's an ever-fixed point. And then there's our human vibration, which is what we navigate with on planet Earth. And the mastery part is feeling your emotion, understanding what that emotion is telling you, and then moving your human mind into alignment with your God mind. So it is simple. We have not said it is easy, but it is a simple process. We just complicate it because that's what humans do. We make things complicated. So well-being, everything, if we think about it again, let's stay with the stream of well-being, like the flow of a river. Nothing that we want is upstream from us. Everything is downstream from us. But most of us literally have taken our canoe, set it in the water, and pointed it upstream. And now we're paddling, and we just keep beating ourselves up. When you stop struggling, when you just sort of let go and in how you stop struggling is in each moment you make a choice to feel better. You just find a little better thought or take your mind off what is awful and stop talking about what's bad and wrong and literally choose another topic if you have to. Or as when you all signed up, you each got a copy, a PDF copy of the emotional vibrational scale, which is kind of a colorful diagram that's on an XY axis. And you also got another Word document that's a PDF that's about the processes you can use. So as we talk in these weeks to come and we listen to what other people are working on, I hope you'll keep the diagrams in front of you, especially the XY axis one of your emotional scale. On the traditional XY axis, I tried to put everything above the the horizontal axis to be positive, and everything below that are the negative emotions. And so as you're working with an issue and you're understanding, you're feeling your feelings and you're understanding that I feel sad about this, I feel frustrated about this, I feel disempowered, I feel whatever, you're going to be in the lower quadrant. And then you'll use the other document, the processes, which is numbered, so that you can use the process to help yourself move up the vibrational scale on that subject. So let's just get back to the subject of well-being. So first of all, there is nothing else. There is only a stream of well-being. No matter what your eyes are perceiving, no matter what your ears are hearing, and we can talk in weeks to come about appearances and illusions. But there is only a source of good. And like I said, we are either in alignment with it or not, or if you want a different analogy, you're in the glow of the light or you just stepped into the dark. However you want to do that, but whatever way you want to envision it, it's all happening within your own mind. So our process here is to learn how to navigate life in the stream. And it's the stream that we've created. And so if life's sort of beating you up right now, it's because your stream is moving really fast and you just are not up to speed with it, or your boat's crosswise of it, or you're resisting in some way, and you've got to relax. And the stream itself, as you pick and choose a better thought and relax, will turn you downstream. And as long as you don't fight it anymore, it will just naturally, like the critters in the forest and all the natural things that happen, the planet spinning in its orbit and the sun coming up and the seasons happening, your good is going to meet up with you, or you're going to get downstream to meet your good. So basically what we're trying to do is believe in our good. And we've come a long way in the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 years to not believing in our good, to expecting the worst. So, but we can turn that around, and we're going to do that here. So, you know, when things are happening in your life, you don't have to put a happy face on it. I mean, that's like having an empty gas tank and then putting a smiley face over it so you don't see it. You're still going to run out of gas. So that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is that you acknowledge what is so. You have to. There's almost no way you can't. And if you aren't, you're in denial. And either way, the law of attraction will make it big enough so that it's like a cosmic 12 by 12 to get you to pay attention to it. So you definitely have to acknowledge. But I think the first thing that we all have to sort of get used to here in America and in Western culture is that we have to allow our emotions, that they're our blessed guidance system. And I think for the most part, we don't know what to do with them. We We haven't been trained on what they mean or how to deal with them. So most of us spend a whole lot of time ignoring them, numbing to them, medicating, whatever, stuffing them down. And it's very sad because it is our eternal and blessed divine guidance system that we came in with. This is for every earthling that came down here. We know what feels good and we know what doesn't feel good. And when we are in alignment, we feel great because we're in the stream. We're lined up. Our human mind is lined up with our God mind, and we are in the stream of well-being. And everything is flowing well, and that's the way we knew it should as we come down, as we came in. I think a lot of people don't realize that they're so frustrated and angry at the world, but they're not really angry at the world. Their anger is that they're so separated from what they know. And if they could just get a handle on what that negative emotion meant, they would sort of get it right away that this idea of blaming somebody else for what went wrong is pointless and useless. But if you actually understand that you're the one out of alignment and your negative emotion is telling you that you're out of alignment with well-being, then you get to understand that you're the one that can change that. So let's say you're driving and somebody cuts you off and you get really frustrated and you get really mad, and that person just joins you right there in that little tete-a-tete, and you go flipping each other off and chasing each other and doing all and escalating it. At the very instant of this thing happening and you feel anger, is the default position should be in our minds, anger means I'm out of alignment. Not that he cut me off. I'm not mad that he cut me off. I'm mad because I'm out of alignment. My anger is what? I'm feeling angry because of what? I'm stuck in traffic. I feel powerless. I feel ineffectual. I can't move. And so you look at the emotional scale chart that you all have, and now you can begin to move this emotional vibration up the scale so that you could sit in traffic all day long and be a happy clam. You could be sitting there creating your next great adventure. Or once you get it all the way up, you're never going to find yourself stuck in traffic, because that's just not going to happen when you're vibrating at those higher ranges. So it's unfortunate that we pass out antidepressants and all kinds of other drugs to numb us, because we are really cutting ourselves off from the wisdom, the exquisite wisdom of our guidance system. So next time you feel like you're going to cry or you're going to hit something or your head's going to explode or you're getting a migraine headache or a bellyache, all of those are emotional responses to something. So it means you're out of alignment. And then you can sit down and say, okay, what's the topic and how do I feel? And begin to change that topic. So that is the use of our emotions, so that we can tell whether we're in alignment with well-being or we're not. And of course, if we are in alignment with well-being, then we feel great. And there's myriad descriptors for that word. Think of all the things that we describe, all the descriptors that we have to describe the word good. You know, pleasant, joyful, delightful, fun. You fill them in. There's just all kinds of things. And there are tiny ones as well as big ones. I mean, the big ones are like, you know, this is joy, this is rapture. But there's beautiful little ones too, like a smile and a grin. Those are all pleasurable, and anything pleasurable is in the neighborhood of God, good, or well-being. So the idea is to try at moment to moment to just keep course correcting throughout your day. And as you get into a topic, let's say you're at work and you're working on a subject and the phones are ringing and whatever else, and you find yourself getting tense, take a break when you feel that tension and ask yourself, okay, what's that about? Am I in overwhelmment? Am I in fear of a deadline? What's going on? Because no good is going to come from being out of alignment if you remember that your point of attraction is right now. And right now, the law of attraction is matching your vibrational countenance at every minute. So it's about becoming aware of how you're feeling. And every day we are in and out of well-being many, many times. You know, we might laugh in the first part of a joke and be out of alignment on the second part of it. We could be in alignment when we get up in the morning and out of alignment by the time we get to work. We can be in and out in the same sentence. So the whole process, of course, is going to move more fluidly if you're aware of what you're feeling and, of course, of what you're saying. And this is, of course, the whole process of becoming consciously aware and being a conscious and deliberate creator. And that, of course, is the bottom line of these life transformation coaching calls, is that we are all learning. We're like Neanderthals right now with this thing called fire, and we don't really know what it can do yet. And we're learning, and we're going to practice together, and we're going to become intentional, deliberate creators of our lives so that we know that we're never beholden to anyone else and we're never at the mercy of anyone else. We create it for ourselves, every single bit of it. And it really doesn't matter what the economy's doing, what the government's doing, what anybody else is doing. Now, to most of us right now, this is theory. But we're going to make it practice and practical because we're going to apply it and we're going to make it work every day. So, one of the things in why we do this every Sunday night is because what will help is consistency. By consistently focusing ourselves back into alignment, back into alignment, back into alignment, we get there and we stay there for longer periods of time as we get more practiced, as we become more aware of what we're feeling in the moment. So lots of things we're going to do differently. At first we might stop watching the news and we might stop hanging out with certain people until we feel like we can get our footing. But I want to tell you right now that this process and this becoming awake in your life is not about avoiding anybody or anything, ever. Because we came down here for the variety of this life. That variety is what spurs us to create a new desire. If we hang out with all the same people and they all feel the same way we do about beef and about religion and about the kind of cars we drive and about politics, and I would think that would make for a pretty boring existence. And we didn't come here to be safe or bored. We came here to have a great adventure and lots of fun because we knew we could create. And if we didn't like what we created, we could, like the Etch-a-Sketch board, erase the whole thing and start all over again. The soul loves expansion. Well-being loves expansion. It is the nature of it. Without the contrast, without the variety, there would be no expansion, And there would be no life as we know it today. It just wouldn't be. So every time you meet up with something that displeases you in whatever degree, and you send out a new rocket of desire, the universe just expanded. Do you get that? The universe just expanded because you wished for something new. Now, all that remains is for you to line up with that. So this is kind of exciting stuff. And we'll start with small things and get good at that. Like I can right now, I'm a black belt at parking spaces. I can get the best parking space on the planet, and that's a given. But I had to work on that. So and as you're working on it, I'm working on it as well. So there are other principles involved, and when we get into different areas of meteor discussions. But these are the basics, and we're starting out with the basics so that everybody's on the same page, everybody's practicing the same things. So how do you feel, get yourself back into well-being? You look for the good. You look for the tiniest morsel of good, and you appreciate. You look for things to appreciate because appreciation is the closest vibration there is to love itself. When you can say you appreciate something, when you adore something, when you love something, when you cherish something, that is the vibration of source energy. That is what it is. It's life itself. It's just robust and exuberant and loves for the sake of loving, for the sake of appreciating, no matter what it looks like. This yesterday we had here in Medina the International Festival. It's the second annual. And I went there and took photographs. And I looked through the lens of my camera, and cameras are kind of fun because they focus you. They are really taking this wide view of things and focusing it on something specific and narrow. And we'll talk about focus as the weeks go on and how important that is to your creations. But as I was looking through the lens of my camera, I was looking at all these different faces and colors and languages and clothing and food and music, and everything was there, at least a wide variety of things from all over the world were represented on this tiny square in Medina, Ohio. And it was truly something to behold, at least for me it was. And I just was on a rampage of appreciation. It was almost like everything I looked at, I could see the God in it. I could feel it. I was delighting with it. My heart was skippity-doo-dying at this amazing conclave of people that had gathered here from all different corners of the planet. There were people from Kenya and Bali and Ireland and Scotland and American Indians and Ecuador and San Salvador, and this wonderful man and his wife who were musicians from the Inca tradition. They were the native Indian people from South America, and they were playing their flutes. They were Japanese, Chinese, Lebanese, everything that you could think of, and the air was redolent with the most exquisite foods, and no fast food was within sight. There were only people cooking their real whole foods there, and people were lined up to eat real lamb and real pulled pork, and it was just, they were, all of their senses were filled with, or could be, if they allowed it to be, filled with all the joys of being in the body on planet Earth, and all of these were manifestations of spirit in the physical form. Every single thing, every purse, every morsel of food, every sound of music, every smile, nothing takes physical form until it's vibration first, which is spiritual energy. And we are those creators. We came here to create into physical form. And this International Festival was just a feast of every sense tactile, auditory, culinary, visual. It was just replete and a great deal of fun. And that's the full enjoyment. So I could go through that day and just be appreciating everywhere I looked until I was about to explode with appreciation, and it was fun. And that's how you know you're in alignment, when it feels that delicious and it is that beautiful. And there's no room in your mind for anything negative. There's just, now you're in the flow. That's it. You're in the flow. So that's an example of finding yourself in the flow of well-being. And if you want to stay there, you have to pay attention to all the different varieties of things that parade by you in a day. You know, a parent that's angry, or a sibling that's grumpy, or a husband that's sick, or a child that's exercising its independence, or whatever that might be that you can choose to become out of alignment about. You can use anything you want as your excuse. But what I want you to learn is that you want to find all the excuses you can to be in well-being. Not excuses to be out of well-being, but excuses to be in well-being. So this week, I want you to just be the person who's just looking for all and every reason to appreciate something. It doesn't matter how tiny it is or how big it is. It's just that you feel that as you are thinking it, as you are appreciating it, and as you hold even one of those thoughts for as little as 17 seconds, another thought just like it will come to join it. And that's the law of attraction matching you. And if you hold that one for another 17 seconds, then more. And this becomes more exponential than it in logarithmic. So that literally now you're starting to get the hang of you. Number one, you're in control of what you focus on. You're the only one that's in control of that. And what you focus on gives you an emotional feeling, a thought. If you're focused on a thought, if you're focused on an incident, if you're focused on a circumstance, if you're focused on a person, you feel your response to that. And you can measure how much you're in well-being or not by using that little scale that I gave you. Then you take that subject and at least find a wee bit better thought to think about it. And if you can't, if you're way down there on that emotional scale and you just simply can't find a good thought, get off the topic altogether and get yourself back into well-being, whether it's listening to I Love Lucy reruns or reciting a Hail Mary or walking in the woods or looking at cloud people in the sky. It doesn't matter. Get yourself back into well-being on any subject possible. Then creep back up on that other one and start working on raising the vibration of that topic that's a little more stubborn. So those are my comments about well-being. I want to remind you there is no source of darkness. There's no source of sickness. There's no source of evil. There is only somebody not connected and out of alignment with the stream of well-being. And that is painful and negative by any description, whether somebody's out of alignment because they're sick or because they have a belief that they're clinging to that doesn't feed them and they know it's not true but they can't reckon with it. There are no evil people. There are no sources of disease. It is simply you are either in alignment or out of alignment. And these are things that are long-standing beliefs on planet Earth. So be kind with yourself, gentle with yourself. These things don't change overnight, and you might get it shifted within your own consciousness, but you'll still bump into it in the world. and be tempted back out, and you'll have to get back into alignment, but it'll be easier every time. I want to remind you that all of the masters, any of them at least that we are familiar with, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, Emerson, and whoever else was out there that we would consider a master in this life, they didn't reach enlightenment and stay there. It wasn't like somebody flipped a switch and they were like, oh, right, I'm awake. You do raise your vibration, your whole being vibration over time so that it's easier and easier and easier to be in alignment, and the things, the heavier vibrations drop away. And yes, you can access the higher vibrations much easier. But as long as you're on Earth, you are playing the game of variety and duality. And that's what gives everything the spice of life. And that's what helps us create something new and expansive. So you can live 80% of your life in well-being and pop out every now and again just to get some new ideas for new creations and then pop back in again. A master can do that. So they would appear to you to be living this really great life, but they know how to step out of it, get some good contrast, get some juices revved up, launch some brand new rockets of desire, and then get back into alignment and create something new. So that's what we're doing here. We're here to have an adventure, and the contrast is an integral, important part of it. So take this one into your week. Any negatives that come into your life, any big contrast, just say, wow, I love this because I'm creating a brand new rocket of desire. And what is that? What is it that you want to have now that you didn't know you wanted before that happened? So those are my comments on well-being for tonight. And I have two questions that came into me earlier this week, one with a coaching client and the other one to the internet. And I promised that I would answer these on the coaching call tonight. So I will just sort of launch into that. I have a dear friend of mine who is in the military and recently went from one scenario where he was working into another. And the cultural and the environment of these two different job descriptions within the same U.S. Navy are completely different cultures. The first one where he came from was one of challenge and adventure and play and fun and camaraderie. It was a great, joyful opportunity, and he enjoyed it for as long as he could. And then the Navy sent him over into the sea side of things. So instead of being in aviation, he now is, for a three-year stint, going to have to be in the ship side of things. And so no flying, but being an officer on board of a ship. And in this context, he came into this culture, which was a complete juxtaposition of what he was used to. And quite contrary, in fact, to his true nature, which is, of course, all of our true nature, which is joy and fun and play and light. So in this, he has watched for and been a part of it for almost a year now. And he was very frustrated and was so out of alignment. And in speaking to him, his human words were things like, I'm done trying to suggest new things. It doesn't pay. I'm just going to put my head down, and I'm going to get through this, and that's it. Now, I think that sort of rings true with a whole lot of people who find themselves out in the world. You know, you might want to bring a new idea to the table, and all the naysayers tell you forget it, and they tell you to sit down and shut up, or they make fun of you, or whatever that might be. this is a practical application, and that's what I really want everyone to understand, is that everything we do here is the way to move through this life well. So as we were talking and he sort of got it out, the first thing was that he actually got it out instead of stuffing it down, and which is usually the way people do. They run, they work out, they beat up the punching bag, they whatever, they're not feeling the mass frustration. And if they do, they don't know what to do about it. They think they have to change the situation. They think they have to change what's external to them. And if you're looking at the United States Navy versus your own sense of how things should be done, that's probably not realistic that you think you're going to have any bearing on it. And so he was feeling, first of all, when he finally got it all out, he realized he was feeling very powerless, very angry, very frustrated. So he was definitely on the lower edge of that emotional diagram. And then I started to remind him that his anger is more because he's a light being, he's a leader, and that he's not leading. In other words, he was allowing them to shift into, he was allowing himself to be shifted into their vibration lower instead of them shifting up higher into his vibration, which kind of launched me into sort of the topic of leadership. And there's no leader that has ever come to planet Earth with a new idea that wasn't laughed at, which would probably be the worst case, or the best case, scorned, scoffed at, mocked, ridiculed, if not burnt at the stake or killed. So it doesn't really make you want to stand up and be a leader. But here's the gig. Being a leader, as I told them, is not about doing it with your words. It's about doing it with your vibration. So in other words, you're unhappy because you're out of alignment with who you are and what you know to be true. That we can have fun, that we can get this work done in half the time, that we can play through it, we can be 10 times more effective and efficient if we are all happy and in well-being than when we're afraid and fearful that the axe is going to fall. You know that it can be easy, and they think it has to be hard and a struggle. But the first thing is you can't change anybody when you are not in alignment yourself, because your vibration is what you bring to the table. It's what you bring, what everybody feels. So the guy who's pissed off, the guy who's disappointed, the guy who feels disempowered or disrespected or not seen or not heard or not understood is just going to keep getting more of the same by the law of attraction. Whereas when you realign yourself with yourself, with who you really are, and you know that this is, you can be joyful no matter what is going on outside of you, when you can pick and choose the things that you focus on in the day, you can see the light in someone's eyes, you can admire the color gray paint on the ship, you can look up and see the eternally blue sky, you can know and uphold yourself and hold yourself in a vibration of well-being. That is how you lead. That is how you change things. Because you're not proselytizing, you're not holding others up to ridicule, you're just holding the space of well-being. And that, my friends, is the power of love that just drip, drip, drips change into the people all around you. So my point to helping my client is that my client wants to have a good life. He wants to be happy. And there is no reason that he can't be in this job, in this environment, and go through it well. I mean, Viktor Frankl went through 5 years in the German concentration camp and came out understanding that they could never own him because he had the power of his mind and where he could focus it. So this is the power of leadership. It's not about telling everybody how they're doing things wrong. It's about staying in alignment personally, doing all the things you know to do, powerful list of appreciation, at the end of the day, really appreciating and giving thanks for even the tiniest little shifts you see, encouraging those, pulling on those, noticing those, because then by the law of attraction, more will show up. It is law. And the powerful influencers of our times, Gandhi, what did he say? He said, be the change you want to see in the world. Don't talk about it. Don't tell people how they're not the change that you want to see. Be the change. So when we hung up, my friend was very much back into alignment and was just reminded of the tools he has. And this is a practice for him because I know he is a leader. And I know that many watch him. We don't know who's watching us, but it is by our example that we lead. So, and then the other thing that came in was through the internet later this week, was a question that they asked me to answer on the call tonight. And this was a father who has a beautiful child. And his question was about well-being and his being the father of this child and being the vortex through which all of the child's well-being came through. In other words, how he wants to know, how is it that I parent so that my child understands that he's the creator and I'm just a vortex through which the good can come through. And I thought that was a really astute question because the basis of parenting, at least evolutionary parenting, is that we get to grow in the process of it. And as we're learning that we're the creators of our own reality, hopefully we're passing this same message on to our children, that you're the creator of your reality, not me. And so this is a topic for another night, and maybe we'll even do some seminars on evolutionary parenting. But for the purpose of his question, first of all, when your child is in alignment and is asking for something out of alignment, there is no way, no how, that anybody can say no because they're just, you have to yield. You know, it's when somebody is so aligned with who they are, you say, yes, I'll help you. You know, that's just the stream of well-being sweeps you right into it. So when your child is in alignment with joy and truth and beauty and goodness and fun and appreciation and delight and all those things, that's a place of pure request and pure asking and pure answer. And you can answer it and you can fulfill that request. And you can also say, you know, I'm happy to do it, but if I didn't, there'd be 1,000 others who would. And you can keep reminding that child that even though you are fulfilling the requests for many things on a daily basis, if you weren't around, the universe would still yield those requests through some other avenue, through some other door, through some other portal. Now, when they're whining and complaining and, you know, and we all know what that sounds like when a kid is just, I gotta have it, and the others have it, and that's because, that's why I want it, because everybody else has it. That's not alignment. And so when a child is out of alignment, it's easy to say, okay, I'll tell you what, if you think you can get back into alignment and come back to me with a request, then we'll see what's what. But I can't answer a request that's made out of alignment, and neither can the universe answer it. And this begins practicing that child into getting into alignment with who they are so that the universe can yield to them in any way their request, not just the parent. But it's also a way of saying, giving responsibility back to the child to get into alignment. You're responsible for your emotion, and you're really out of alignment right now. Take a breath, go calm down. You know, those are the things. So for our purposes in this class, we're trying to learn about alignment and misalignment, vibration, what does it feel like? And when it doesn't feel good, and you're just giving something to your child to shut them up, you've really done a disservice to both of you. So think in terms of vibration and their alignment with Source, because they are powerful creator just the same as we are, just the same as grown-ups are. I have a friend whose daughter, Susanna, is 6 years old, and she had her birthday at the beginning of June. And Susanna made a list of all these things that she wanted for her birthday. Susanna did not share this list with anybody. She just made this list, and she just kept writing it down, and she kept drawing pictures. When it came to her birthday party, she got 70% of the things that were on her list. Only one of them came through her parents, and nobody knew what was on her list. So just kind of a side story to let you know that the law of attraction, the universal laws, the natural laws are operating for every living thing, including our parents, our children, our spouse, our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, and the people that really cause us lots of grief. So I'm going to stop now and ask if there are any questions from anybody who's listening. Any comments, feel free. You'll just have to unmute yourself. Use star 6. Okay, one of these weeks we're going to become chatty. I just know it. So I'll give you one more chance here. If there's anything that's not clear or a specific situation you want to talk about that you want to work on this week, okay. Well, I think we're going to close for tonight then. I don't have anything else coming in, and I'm willing to stay till 8 o'clock if anybody's got something they really got to hash out. So speak now or forever hold your peace until next Sunday. Okay, so let's just recap here. Well-being is where we want to be. It's the stream of life. And we want to be in the flow of life. It has many names, love, good, whatever. And you know it because it feels that way. Your emotional guidance system is telling you, not that somebody is bad or wrong or did something awful to you, it's telling you, you are out of alignment with yourself or on this topic. So, we're going to make lists of appreciation. We're going to look for something good. We are going to tell ourselves the truth about where we are, and then we're going to use the emotional guidance scale system to work on a specific topic to raise it up, and we'll use those processes to shift on a certain topic. So for this week, everybody have a great week. Lift your heart up and say, wow, this is amazing stuff. This world, me, myself, and make some really great lists of how much you appreciate yourself, first and foremost. All right, everybody, good night. Thanks for joining me. This is Kathy Kirk. Bye-bye.